This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk.
There's a saying that goes, God made Cabernet Sauvignon, but the devil made Pinot Noir. The idea being that Pinot Noir is a very hard grape to grow, whereas Cabernet Sauvignon's not too bad. As a general rule, it grows in quite a range of climates and can make quite a lot of different styles. We're going to be looking at the grape variety, Cabernet Sauvignon, its common blending partners, how it's made, some of the issues associated with the grape variety, and also some of the key wine-producing regions in the world that produce Cabernet Sauvignon. But let's start at the beginning, and the very first thing is Cabernet Sauvignon is a grape variety from the Vitis vinifera species. Vitis vinifera is the main species you see with most of the really common wines in the world. Chardonnay, Sauvignon Blanc, Merlot, Shiraz, these are all Vitis vinifera, and Cabernet Sauvignon is one of those. It's a crossing. It almost certainly was a crossing formed in Bordeaux, and reasonably recent genetic testing shows that its parents were Cabernet Franc and Sauvignon Blanc, Cabernet Sauvignon. Now, from a technical point of view, Cabernet Sauvignon is generally considered a late budding grape variety. That means that the temperature has to get a little bit more than sort of other grape varieties before it starts to bud. The advantage that means is that it starts later in the season, and if you're in an area that's a little bit prone to frost, then it's going to avoid some of the frost issues associated with budding too early. Another key feature, which I think it picks up from Sauvignon Blanc, is it's got very, very thick skins. Now, thick skins give you lots of colour, they give you lots of flavour, but also really important for a lot of maritime climates, it also is quite disease resistant. Thin-skinned grape varieties, if they get a bit of mould on it, will split open and spill the contents everywhere, increasing the moisture in the area, increasing the mould. Thick-skinned grape varieties tend not to split open. In terms of how quickly it ripens, compared to something like Merlot, which buds earlier and ripens earlier, Cabernet Sauvignon buds later and ripens later than, say, Merlot. It is all a little bit relative, but Merlot tends to bud earlier and ripen earlier. And that's quite important when you're looking for where you grow your Cab Sav and when you grow your Merlot. So if the Cabernet Sauvignon isn't too ripe, you often land up with these very astringent and herbaceous types of flavours. In fact, the stems are never chucked into the vat. You'll see sometimes, particularly in places like Burgundy, where they'll put Pinot Noir stems into the tank, which is doing the fermentation. The idea being that some of the tannins in the stems will seep into the wine, giving the wine a little bit more structure. However, the stems in Cabernet Sauvignon are always astringent, so they never want to add those to the wine. And to be frank, because of those thick skins, which gives you heaps of tannins if you want to extract them, it's not a problem. In fact, over-extraction can be a bit of a problem with Cabernet Sauvignon. One way you can do that, or to get a Cab Sav without too many tannins, is maybe do what they call a cold soak, or pre-fermentation maceration. That's where you crush the grapes up, you leave them in a tank, quite cold temperature, so the alcoholic fermentation doesn't start, and you just leave them there. And what you'll do is you'll extract some of the colour and flavour, but not necessarily the tannins. In fact, when you're making the wine, even when you're doing an alcoholic fermentation, you tend not to let the temperature get too high. Usually with red wines, you'll ferment at maybe 20 to 32 degrees. Cab Sav, just a little bit lower from the top end, maybe 26 to 30 degrees. The idea being, the warmer the fermentation, the more extraction. It's like any chemical reaction. The warmer it is, the more chemical reactions occur. So to help minimize some of the extraction, you tend to have it fermenting at maybe 26 to 30 degrees. Similarly, lots of extractive cap management tends to be avoided when you're doing Cabernet Sauvignon. As the alcohol rises, you get more extraction. Alcohol is a solvent for tannins, if you like. And as the alcohol comes up, you get more and more extraction. So you don't necessarily want to extract too many tannins. So you're not going to do a lot of pumping over or punching down. Maybe a little bit, but you're not going to get it. You're not going to do too much, and certainly not towards the end of the fermentation. What some people tend to do, though, is they might do a post-fermentation extraction. So they'll let the fermentation cool down and they'll leave the juice in contact with the skins. That does two things. First of all, you get a more gentle extraction of tannins for the Cabernet Sauvignon, and it will help to soften some of the existing tannins that are already in the tank, so to speak. After fermentation and extraction, they tend to put the wine into oak barrels, and it can be aged for a long time. You know, the typical classic Bordeaux barrel is about 225 litres. Normally, you might spend 12 to 18 months in an oak barrel, but you could do anything from 6 months to 4 years, depending on what you're trying to achieve. The nice thing about Cab Sav is it's got usually quite a lot of flavour. So what does a classic Bordeaux Cab Sav dominated wine taste of? Well, it's usually medium to full bodied, lots of tannins from those thick skins. And the big signature flavour for Cabernet Sauvignon is blackcurrant. Now, some people will call it cassis, and that's fine. That's just the French word for blackcurrant. Blackcurrant, you know, ribena, that type of thing is what you're looking for. Full-bodied wine, and it can take quite a bit of oak. So you often see lots of new oak in the wines, giving a lovely cedary note. Very, very common. And that cedar and blackcurrant is actually quite a nice flavour combination for some people. Now, let's have a look at some of the sort of more famous wine regions that grow Cabernet Sauvignon. Bordeaux is probably the most famous. As we said, this is where the grape came from. And in Bordeaux, it is definitely a late budder. And it does struggle to ripen quite often in some of the regions, which is why you see it grown in particular parts of Bordeaux and Merlot in other parts. Remember, Merlot buds early, ripens earlier. So a cooler climate for Merlot is fine. It's not a problem. It can ripen away. Whereas Cabernet Sauvignon, if you get it in a marginal climate, you may find you land up with some of those astringent herbaceous characters, which aren't very attractive. So site selection is quite important. Bordeaux's got a couple of things going for it. First of all, it's got a maritime climate. Now, maritime climates mean your winters aren't really cold, but your summers aren't particularly hot. But the upshot is, as you come out of winter, it gets warm enough to start the bud burst process a little bit earlier. So you often find maritime climates have a very long growing season, and that's perfect for something like Cabernet Sauvignon. It buds a little bit later and needs a little bit more time to ripen up. In fact, the closer you are to the coast, usually the better it is. If you look at Bordeaux, quite often people divide it up into left bank and right bank, and this is really what side of the main river you are. On the left bank, it's closest to the sea, and there's quite a lot of gravel around there. Gravel does two things. First of all, it warms up during the day, radiating heat, which means that your ripening day is a little bit longer, which gives you a little bit more ripening time. Particularly at the end of the day, you know, if you walk past a brick wall that's been in the sun all day, it's radiating heat back in. Well, if you can stay above that magic 10 degrees that you need for photosynthesis from that radiating heat coming off the ground, then you can continue ripening right into the evenings. Whereas if it drops below 10 degrees, you might find perhaps that the ripening stops early. Other soils in Bordeaux aren't so good. Clay, particularly wet clay, and let's face it, maritime Bordeaux climate is wet. So wet clay tends to be quite a cold, and also limestone tends to be quite cold as well. Now, for a grape variety like Bordeaux, which is struggling to ripen, you put them in a cold soil. That means that the temperature above is a little bit colder, means you're not going to get that full ripening all day long. It means you're going to stop ripening earlier at the end of the day. So you can struggle to ripen. So you'll often find that Cabernet Sauvignon is not typically grown on clay and limestone. They tend to like to grow it on gravel. In fact, if you look around Bordeaux and think about where the gravel is, that's pretty much where they're growing it. So the Medoc, particularly the Haute Medoc, has lots of gravel, and you're quite close to the sea, so you've got longer days, so you see a lot of Cabernet Sauvignon there. But you're also going to see some in Passet-Léon, where there's a little bit of gravel, and even in Saint-Emilion, which we often think of as more of a Merlot-based wine region. The plateau in the northwest has a little bit of gravel, and you can get a little bit of Cab Sav grown up there. So gravel, Bordeaux, and Cabernet Sauvignon is the holy trinity in terms of where you're likely to see it grown. Cooler soils are more likely to be used for Merlot. So Saint-Emilion has a lot of limestone, which means you see a lot of Merlot. A lot of the Medoc, not the Haute Medoc, but then the normal sort of Medoc and other parts of the Bordeaux has a lot of clay in it as well. So again, you see a lot of Merlot being grown in those regions. Now, Bordeaux is famous for its blends, and the classic Bordeaux blend is Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, a little bit of Cabernet Franc, and a grape variety known as Petit Verdot. Now, Petit Verdot struggles to ripen even more than Cabernet Sauvignon, so you never see much Petit Verdot in a blend. And Cabernet Franc likes the same sort of well-drained, gravelly soil as Cabernet Sauvignon. So if you've got a choice between Cabernet Sauvignon, considered a top grape, and Cabernet Franc, considered a good grape but not quite as good, then a lot of people will plant the Cab Sav there, which means that Cab Sav tends to dominate where it can, and Merlot makes up the other big part of the blend. A lot of people normally think of Bordeaux as being sort of the cool limit where Cabernet Sauvignon can grow. Bordeaux's got a moderate maritime climate, but you do see a little bit of Bordeaux grown a bit further north in the Loire Valley. Now, the Loire Valley, not particularly famous for its Bordeaux wines. In fact, because it's so cool and the risk of those astringent herbaceous flavors is so high, they tend not to use Cab Sav in red wine production. Instead, they'll use it for rosé production. If you're not extracting any tannins, just a little bit of colour through a cold soak or something like that, then astringent tannins aren't really an issue. The two rosés that have a little bit of Cab Sav, or can have a little bit of Cab Sav in them, is Cabernet d'Anjou, which is a medium sweet wine, and also Rosé de Loire, which can have a little bit of Cab Sav. Both of them can have a mixture of Cab Franc or Cab Sav in them, depending on what the producer's doing. You don't normally expect to see any straight red Cabernet Sauvignon from the Loire Valley. Now, the only other place that grows Cabernet Sauvignon in France is really in southern France, where it's used to make a lot of IGP wines. And Cab Sav grows quite well in the warm, hot climates. Remember, it's a late budder, late ripening, so warm to hot climates are perfect for it. Moderate climates struggles a little bit. Now, in these warmer climates, you can grow large crop. The bigger the crop, the more heat you need to build up the sugars to ripen the grapes, etc. And one of the problems when you crank up the yield is quite often you'll lose a little bit of the color and tannins. But Cab Sav is one of these grape varieties. When you crank up the yield, you will get less color, but there's still adequate colour. Commercial high-volume wines tend to be not very tannic, so you just do a lot of cold soaking rather than much extraction, so you don't get too many tannins. And Cab Sav is one of these grape varieties. Even at high yields, you can get some sort of varietal character. Normally, the more you crank up the yield, the more you lose the typical varietal characters in a wine, whereas Cab Sav can hold on to some of its varietal characters. So these high-volume wines have, compared to a sort of a Bordeaux wine, less colour, less tannins, less aroma, and less varietal characteristics, but still some. Around the world, it's grown all over the place. Let's have a look at Italy. And in Italy, you will find it in Veneto to the northeast, where it's used in a lot of sort of cheap IGP wines. But in Tuscany, it's blended with Sangiovese. And on the Tuscan coast, there's a particular DOC known as Bolgheri. And that's allowed to have up to 100% Cabernet Sauvignon in it. What happened was, in the early days, Cab Sav was banned. You know, if you wanted to make a DOC wine, you had to use native Italian grape varieties. But there was a producer called Sassicaia who, in 1944, started planting Cab Sav in Bolgheri on the Tuscan coast. Now, these wines became very popular. In fact, they became so popular and so expensive that they were more expensive than the genuine article. You know, the top DOC and DOCG wines, well, these super Tuscans, as they became known, were selling at a higher price. And they were being sold as Vina di Tavola, which is sort of the lowest of the low in Italy. So you're getting these super low quality labeled wines, Vina di Tavola, but selling at extremely high prices. As a result, Bolgheri DOC was created to allow for these 100% Cab Sav and other grape varieties. Let's not mention it. Forget that, you know, you are allowed to grow Shiraz and Merlot and Bolgheri. But they also started to allow Cabernet Sauvignon into Chianti as well. So now Chianti can have some Cab Sav in it. Now in Spain, They tend to grow it as well, but they blend it a lot with Tempranillo, Tempranillo being the big grape variety. So if you have a look around some of the blends in Spain, you'll see it blended with Tempranillo. The big one that's a little bit different is Priorat. Now, Priorat is a super premium region in Catalonia, which is made up of primarily Grenache, but they're allowed a little bit of Cab Sav in there as well. Now, you can't mention Cab Sav without mentioning the USA. California is the biggest producer in the US by a huge margin, and Cabernet Sauvignon is the most planted red grape in California. The best wines are concentrated, ripe cassis, full-bodied, and perhaps the region that's best known for producing Cab Sav of good quality is Napa Valley. The big thing about California is you've got this cold California current running down the side, and if you're too close to the coast, you tend to grow Pinot Noir and not Cabernet Sauvignon. As you move away from the coast, it gets progressively warmer and warmer, and eventually you can start growing Cab Sav. Napa Valley is a valley that feeds into San Pablo Bay. And if you start at San Pablo Bay, the first region there is Los Caneros. Now, they do not grow Cabernet Sauvignon. Los Caneros is really a Pinot Noir region. And you'll see a lot of Pinot Noir being grown in California in those cooler coastal areas. But as you move further inland, two things happen. First of all, there's a lot of fog down there, and you start to move up the valley, you get less and less fog coming in, less and less regularly, and you get further and further away from the cooling San Pablo Bay. And as a result, by the time you get up the valley to Stags Lee, Oakville, and Rutherford, you're starting to see some pretty tidy Cabernet Sauvignons. And Oakville and Rutherford, you know, Cab Sav, it's Cab Sav Central. Moving further up into something like St. Helena and all the way up into Calistoga, they still grow Cab Sav there, but you're starting to see warmer climate grape varieties coming in as well. Things like Zinfandel being grown a lot more in those regions. So as you move up the valley, you're going from Pinot Noir to cold. The sweet spot really for nice gutsy Cab Savs, Oakville, Stags Lee, Rutherford. And then you move a bit further up, it's a lot warmer, so you're getting more alcohol in the wines, riper flavors into places like Helena and Calistoga. Sonoma, also known for producing some good quality wines. And again, you've got to get away from the coast. So you're looking at places like Dry Creek, Alexandra Valley. Anywhere near the coast, you're more likely to be in the Pinot Noir category. In Mendocino, a little bit above Sonoma, they also grow a little bit of Cab Sav. Not by the coast, there's a wine region up there known as Anderson's Valley. And by the coast, they're growing things like Rieslings and Gewürztraminers and all sorts of aromatic, cool climate wines. But if you go a little bit further into the valley, there's some shading from some of the mountains and it gets a little bit warmer. And again, they're growing some Cab Sav. As always, it's like, are you by the coast? Yes or no. If you're by the coast, you're probably Pinot Noir. If you're inland, you're probably Cab Sav. And if you're way inland and really warm, you're Zinfandel. Now, normally in the Northern Hemisphere, the more further north you go, the cooler it gets. So as you go up, you get into places like Oregon. Oregon's got a particular reputation for Pinot Noir. But you go even further north into Washington State, where the capital of that state is Seattle. So getting right up close to the Canadian border there. And here, you do see Cabernet Sauvignon. It can grow there. There's two reasons. The first is, you've got the Cascade Mountains. There's a big mountain range, and Seattle is wet. It really is. I lived in Seattle for a period of time, and I was there. I got two sunny days in Seattle. The rest of the time, it wasn't so much rain. It was just this sort of misty drizzle that you see all the time. But on the other side of the Cascade Mountains in Washington State, you're going to see Cabernet Sauvignon growing. It's inland, so it's warmer. You've got these really long days because the further north you go, the longer the days get as well. Long days, reasonable amount of warmth, and they can ripen up Cabernet Sauvignon. Now let's have a look at the Southern Hemisphere. And the first place we're going to start off with is Argentina. Argentina makes a reasonable amount of Cabernet Sauvignon. The main grape we always think of in Argentina is Malbec, and that's the key variety. But they do make Cabernet Sauvignon in places as far north as Cafayate. Cafayate is particularly known for a region called Salta, which has got an altitude of 3 kilometers, and it produces these lovely, vibrant white Torontes grapes with lots of floral flavors. But Café Chaudet can ripen a little bit of Cab Sav. As you move down, you've got Café Chaudet, you've got San Juan as well. Perhaps the biggest region in Argentina is Mendoza. Not perhaps, it is the biggest region in Argentina is Mendoza. And again, altitude. Altitude is so important when you're thinking about Argentina. In Mendoza, there's a lot of sub-regions, but the three we're going to talk about is Maipo, Luquén de Caju, and Aco. Now, Aco is the highest, Luquén de Caju is the middle, and Maipo is the lowest in altitude. And as you get from Maipo, which is reasonably warm and therefore able to ripen quite a lot of grapes, and Maipo tends to be known more as a volume area, it's more of a bulk wine area. But as you get further up, like Luquén de Caju and finally Aco, it's getting cooler and it's less about bulk wine production and more about premium wine production. Aco is certainly the highest in altitude, 900 to 1500 meters, and it's also going to produce the freshest styles of Cab Sav, whereas Maipo is going to be more of your bulk wine production. In South Africa, Cab Sav is the most widely planted grape variety, and it forms a backbone of what they call the Cape Blend. Now, the Cape Blend is Cab Sav, Merlot, Pinotage in there as well, and that's your classic Cape Blend. So blending it up with a bit of Pinotage, that's the key thing for the Cape Blend. The most famous region in South Africa is Stellenbosch. Normally, when you think of South Africa, you think of it, oh gosh, that's quite hot. And you're right, if you look at the latitude of South Africa, it's really, really close to the equator. You know, we talk about 30, 50. Cape Town is around 33 degrees latitude, so it's really quite far north. And you'd normally think, well, Cab Sav, that's a little bit warm for good quality Cab Sav. But places like Stellenbosch are cooled, and the cooling influences are things like the Cape Doctor, which is a wind that blows in and cools the area. You've also got lots of altitude and aspect, because it's quite a hilly area, or it can be reasonably hilly, and that gives you access to sites that can produce good quality wines. Now, in a cool environment where you're struggling to ripen, such as in Bordeaux, you might be facing your vineyards towards the equator, towards the sun. Whereas in Stellenbosch, you may go towards the sun, but if you're worried that your grapes might get too ripe, you might choose an aspect that has got less sun, which means it's not going to be as hot and can be a little bit shaded as well. So altitude and aspect are really important. Other big areas for Cabernet Sauvignon production are things like Paarl. And Paarl's just a little bit further inland from Stellenbosch. You find that the Cape Doctor winds, that cooling wind, doesn't tend to make it into Paarl. But again, you've got lots of hills, so you've got lots of altitude and aspect. You've also, because you're a little bit further inland, you've got really cold nights. And cold nights do two things. They help hold on to the acidity in the wine, and they help hold on to flavors in the wine as well. So the more continental the climate, the colder the nights, and that helps them hold on to the acidity in the wines. There are other areas that grow Cab Sav all over the place, but one area I just wanted to mention was Swartland. Now, Swartland, which is on the west coast above Cape Town, sort of to the west of Stellenbosch and Paarl. Swartland's right on the coast, and there's a current that runs up the side known as the Benguela Current. And the Benguela Current gives a bit of coolness there, normally considered a pretty bulky area, but it is a region that is starting to get a much better reputation. It's got a lot of old vine, dry farmed grapes. Dry farm means that they're not irrigated, and they're really old vines. And old vines, dry farmed, will produce very concentrated wines. And what you're seeing out of Swartland is a move towards some of these more interesting styles of wines where they're starting to focus on the quality rather than the volume. And Swartland's just starting to become quite an interesting wine region. There's still quite a lot of bulk there, but it's getting better. In Chile, Cabernet Sauvignon, again, is the most planted grape variety. It makes all sorts of styles, from really high volume bulk to really high quality wines. And to be honest, Chile is one of the few countries in the world that produces a lot of very good quality, reasonably priced wines. They tend to blend it with Merlot and Carmenere, Carmenere being an old Bordeaux grape variety. It's not really seen in Bordeaux anymore, but it's sort of the USP, the unique selling point of Chile, is its Carmenere. And they'll do it as a blend with Merlot and Carmenere from time to time. there's a lot of different regions and a lot of different aspects and coolness. You can be by the coast in Lleida or San Antonio, where it's too cold usually for Cab Sav. But you can go into places like Aconcagua Valley, just above Santiago, the capital. And here, this is your classic Chilean dynamic. On the one side, on the east side, you've got the Andes Mountains, which is bringing cold air at night. Cold air sinks from the Andes Mountains. And on the west coast of Aconcagua, you've got exposure to the cooling sea breeze. Chile's got this Humboldt Current, which is a cooling ocean current that runs up the side of it. So anybody who's got a bit of exposure to the Humboldt Current will be noticeably cooler. But right in the middle, it's quite warm. In fact, I think it's one of Chile's warmer regions, the center of Aconcagua, and on the valley floor, you are seeing a range of Cabernet Sauvignon, some good quality ones. Perhaps Chile's most famous region, and certainly the biggest region, is Central Valley. And Central Valley is huge, and it produces all sorts of stuff. You've got quality regions like Colchagua, which is producing big, full-bodied Cabernet Sauvignons with those classic blackcurrant flavors. But you've also got bulky areas like Curico and Huaral, which produce a lot more volume, softer Cab Savs, easier drinking styles. One of the unique wines of Cabernet Sauvignon, and there's two places that do this, is in Chile's Central Valley's Maipo Valley subregion. And this is just north of Santiago, and what you find is you get a lot of cooling air coming down from the Andes. And here you see the Cab Savs develop these really interesting and slightly unusual minty type flavors. In Australia, probably the most famous wine producing region for 100% Cabernet Sauvignon is Coonawarra. And Coonawarra in South Australia also produces lots of minty eucalyptus flavors in their wines. If someone gives me a Coonawarra Cab Sav, you smell it and you go, okay, that's Coonawarra Cab Sav, because it has this very distinctive minty eucalyptus note. Well, Maipo Valley in Chile is one of the few regions where you might get a little bit confused. That said, I drink much more Coonawarra Cab Sav than I do Maipo Valley Cab Sav, so I'm much more experienced with Coonawarra. But Australia has Cabernet Sauvignon widely planted. Shiraz is mainly the main red grape here. But in South Australia, there's a lot of good quality Cab Sav. Barossa Valley has a lot of old bush vine Grenache and Cab Sav used to make some really quite concentrated wines. Clare Valley, McLaren Vale also all produce Cab Sav in South Australia, along with those minty eucalyptus Coonawarras. Perhaps the big region that produces a lot of Bordeaux-style blend Cab Sav wines is Margaret River and the Great Southern region in Western Australia. You're right on the west coast of Australia, down in that bottom corner, and you've got Margaret River and the Great Southern. And both of these regions produce Bordeaux blends, Cab Sav, Merlot styles of wines, and have a particular reputation. The other big region that produces some Cab Sav is Victoria. Not as famous as South Australia, I don't think, but Yarra Valley is maybe better known for, say, Pinot Noir and possibly Shiraz, but there is some Cab Sav. The thing about Yarra Valley, which is the region just to the northeast of Melbourne, is that at one end of the Yarra Valley, you've got Melbourne's harbour, and that's quite cool, so Pinot Noir all the way. At the other end, you're climbing into the Great Dividing Range, which is giving you altitude and coolness. Again, probably a little bit too cool for Cab Sav, but in the middle, there's that little sweet spot where you've got lots of different altitudes and aspects, which can give you just what you need to ripen some Cab Sav up. Further inland is a region known as Heathcote. And this is sort of, Heathcote is still in Victoria. And what happens is the Great Dividing Range comes down and sort of separates Heathcote from the rest of the sort of more coastal areas of Victoria. So Heathcote is inland. It's sort of on the other side of a lot of mountain ranges, as the Great Dividing Range sort of peters out. But Heathcote's built into the mountain ranges, and as a result, you get altitude. A lot of those sort of more inland areas are known for producing lots of sort of bulk wines, so Riverlands, Riverina. These are all more bulky areas of Cabernet Sauvignon wine production, but Heathcote gets a little bit of altitude and a little bit cooler and can produce some reasonably good quality wines. As I said, in Australia, they do grow Cab 7 quite widely. And even in Tasmania. Now, I always think of Tasmania as being very cold, very wet. I've been to Tasmania, and if you go to Tasmania, it's all green. You go sort of the next day to Barossa, and it's all dried out. And that's because it's quite wet in Tasmania. So thick skins of Cab Sav is quite good. A little bit cold for Cab Sav, to be fair. There's a lot of Pinot Noir and Chardonnay used to make some pretty good sparkling wines in Tassie. Little bit cold for Cab Sav, but there is a little bit there. The issue you got to watch out for, remember right at the very beginning, we were talking about herbaceousness and astringent tannins. That's the thing you got to watch out for Tasmania. Our final country is New Zealand, and New Zealand does do some Cab Sav. We think of New Zealand as mainly Pinot Noir, and there's some very good Pinot Noir being produced in New Zealand. But in the North Island, where it's a little bit warmer, you do see some little bit of Cab Sav, particularly in Hawke's Bay. And there's a region in Hawke's Bay known as the Gimblet Gravels, and the Gimblet Gravels has gravel on it. It's a moderate maritime climate, just like Bordeaux, with gravel, right at the sort of cool end of the spectrum, so it can produce a lot of very good quality Cabernet Sauvignon blended wines. There was a problem years ago with dodgy clones of Cabernet Sauvignon not really optimized for the New Zealand climate. That's gone now, and you're seeing some quite decent Cab Sav coming out of Hawke's Bay, in particular Gimblet Gravels. Okay, that ends our look at Cabernet Sauvignon. Quite a whistle-stop tour of the grape variety, but there is a reason why it's considered one of the top international grape varieties grown all over the world, and that's simply because, as we said at the beginning, God made Cabernet Sauvignon, whereas the devil made Pinot Noir.